This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. This is the Podium Finish Live, episode number 43, the Richard Petty edition, as I promised. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, joined alongside, as always, Nathan Solomon, my good friend and co-host, fresh from his weekend appearance at Watkins Glen International. Pretty much a racetrack that saw a little bit of everything except for snow. So we're going to hear from Nathan here very shortly. It's a really awesome edition of our show because, of course, we have a great hot seat interview that we'll be getting to later on in this program. And it's not a party of two, it's a party of three for today's episode. So super exciting stuff because remember how I teased you guys last week that, you know, we're heading towards our 1 year anniversary. Well, why not? Why don't we do things up in tribute style? Because my friend, my best friend rather, Brianna O'Leary is here today, and she's going to be our co-host as well. So looking forward to having Brianna actually right now on our show. And I know she's fresh off her practice session at Trackhouse Racing's campus, and we'll hear from her very shortly. And also, too, for the hot seat interview, we have Richard Childress Racing's Austin Hill that will be on here, too. So lots to get to. Why don't we get all the pleasantries started? Now, normally I introduce Nathan, but, you know, being a gentleman, ladies first and then gentlemen afterward. So, Brianna, it's good to have you back. I know you're pretty much kind of really busy and all that. And now you're also dealing with a little bit of sinus stuff. So hope you're feeling better. How are things going for you at Trackhouse?
Good. We're having lots of fun getting ready. It's like the season's, we're about to hit the playoffs, and that's like the craziest time. Season's ending. Everybody's buckling down, but we're having fun.
Awesome. And y'all are, of course, you have your two entries in the playoffs, of course. Daniel Suarez, a Sonoma race winner. And of course, a certain driver who you beat in a fruit roll-up contest that we got to see on TikTok. So how is the vibe on campus? Is everybody excited, ready to go after a championship?
Oh, yeah. I think the vibe from the get-go has been excited. I think everybody's been excited since day one. And then, you know, to have so many wins so quickly in a race team, new race team, has just kept the excitement going. So it's always a good, fun place to be. Everybody is excited and everybody's just happy to be there.
That's great to hear. And I love watching your TikToks and all the clips from campus because it makes me feel a little closer to Charlotte, although I'm halfway across the country. Yeah. But now, obviously, congrats to your team's success this year. And of course, very exciting that Project 91 kicked off this past weekend with Kimi Räikkönen. I know he didn't have the best finish, but the Iceman showed that he has definitely NASCAR Cup Series potential, should he want to come back and get that wrist all healed up. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, actually, on Podium Perspectives. But let's bring in the recorder. Hopefully I'm pointing the right way on this one because I'm not on YouTube. But let's bring in our gentleman reporter, Nathan Solomon, right now. Nathan, I know you're fresh from Watkins Glen. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I'm definitely a little bit sad that was my last race weekend of the year, but it was certainly an eventful one leading up to the playoffs. It is pretty crazy, though, that, like, we are two-thirds of the way through the season now, and, like, 2.5 months from now, we're not going to have any racing for like 3 months, but I don't really want to think about that. But no, I'm good. I'm getting ready to move back to college here this weekend, so that's exciting. But yeah, that's basically what's going on here. So excited to do that, and that means the radio show will be back here soon. So that's certainly something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Can't wait for the radio station version of our show. That means, Brianna, get your jukebox requests in because we'll play some of your stuff on our show. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've got stuff you want us to play, let us know. You know our Twitter handles. I'll get to that in a bit. But yes, it's going to be a good old time here on TPF Live. One of the final, as Nathan said, one of the final editions of this show before we were on campus again, which... yeah, it's kind of cool. Grad school me is also thinking I'm not so ready for that because that means I have two classes until March. So maybe you got to be careful about what you wish for. Well, folks, before we get Podium Perspectives, as always, I'm going to bring in our sponsor for this show, SpoilerToDiecast.com. who has the latest and greatest in NASCAR collectibles, whether that's Lionel Racing's collectibles or even some hidden gems that I noticed on their website. So if you spend $20 or more on items that are shipping from in-stock items or pre-order items for the future, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping by using promo code TPF. That's promo code TPF for free shipping and 5% off your orders of $20 or more. Head on over to spoilerdiecast.com and you can be in victory lane with those latest and greatest in diecast cars. With that, folks, don't go shopping just yet because Bree, Nathan, and I are going to be heading on over to Pony Perspectives. Now, this weekend, of course, so much unraveled. We know that the same driver won the races. So pretty much Kyle Larson right now has to be pretty thrilled at that. What happened at Watkins Glen? Well, mostly thrilled. I'll get to why he hasn't been fully thrilled because of the fact that on Saturday, of course, that was a great race for him because he did not expect to basically steal the Xfinity race victory when William Byron and Ty Gibbs got together in the bus stop in the last few laps of that race. And then on Sunday, of course, well, he was pretty much the third best car at least on Sunday afternoon next to Michael McDowell and Chase Elliott. And then with five to go, the most pivotal restart of that race took place in which Larson was able to pull ahead of Chase Elliott well before they kind of got together in turn one. Was it intentional? No. Did he lock up the wheels? Yes. Does that mean that there's a divided fan base amongst those Hendrick Motorsports fans? Oh yeah, for sure. So I don't want to chime in too much because today I'm more of an Alex Trebek here. I'm a host. I want to hear from Brianna and Nathan on this. So we're going to kind of like split things up. Brianna will be leading off for topics 1 and 3. Nathan takes 2 and 4 rather. And then, you know, Brianna gets to chime in afterwards. But Bree, let's hear from you because of course, you've got a really unique perspective as a tire changer and, of course, a NASCAR insider, too. Did you get a chance to see what happened on Sunday afternoon? And do you think that what Kyle Larson did on Sunday was fair game with Chase Elliott?
I've been sick. I actually did take a good nap for the most part of the race. but I did catch, like, the post-race interviews. And I honestly believe that, like, Kyle Larson was sincere in his apologies. I don't think he really meant to do that. It's his teammate. When you're that close to a win, you have to go for the win. And I believe he was honest in what he said in his post-race interview. So.
Yeah. I mean, he kept apologizing a lot. And the main thing he kept saying was, I'm not really proud of what I did, but I did what I had to do. So yeah. It's not like somebody who is like, well, I wrecked that summer, you know what, and that's how it's going to be. So, yeah, it was a pretty contrite Kyle Larson. I mean, when he got out of the race car on Sunday afternoon, like on the start-finish line, and Nathan was there, he looked like somebody who was like, oh, whoops, I kind of stole some cookies from the cookie jar, but I ate the cookies. I can't take it back.
Yeah. He was like, I got the win. I feel bad for the way it happened, honestly. But, you know, he's a race car driver. He's competitive. That's how it goes.
Exactly. How about you, Nathan? I know you were there. You got to see a little bit firsthand with that. That situation with Sam Drace, our photographer. What's your insights about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Larson hadn't won a race or a stock car or a Cup Series race since Auto Club back in February. And that's one of his longer NASCAR droughts. And, you know, his team was really just looking for anything going into the playoffs. Obviously, they've had trouble piecing together finishes, piecing together races. And, you know, Hendrick Motorsports, all four of those cars were really solid all weekend. And he was in a position where he could go out and get that win and really using the same position that he was in for the Xfinity race on Saturday, literally five laps to go battling for a win. And you know, he drove in there pretty deep. He started on the inside there on Sunday and drove deep. I don't know if he necessarily meant to move Chase Elliott out of the way, but he certainly drove in there deep, and it looked like he got a little bit of wheel lock and just kind of pushed him up the track a little bit. I mean, I've watched it back several times. I don't think they didn't really make a whole lot of contact, but it was certainly enough to slow down Chase Elliott and move him back to, I think he ended up finishing in fourth place. But, you know, Chase Elliott has 4 wins. He has an 115-point lead in the standings. I mean, that's, you know, such a large lead. And with all the parity we've had this season, it's kind of surprising that we saw Chase Elliott with such a big lead. You know, he clinches the regular season championship in the first stage, like 2 races before the end of the regular season. So, you know, obviously 5 more playoff points would have been very helpful for Chase. And I'm sure that that's what he wanted more than anything else. Obviously, the 4 wins have him very safe in the playoffs, and being the fact that he is the regular season champion. So, and Larson, I'm sure knew that. I'm sure he knew that he was going to be the regular season champion by the time that happened, that point of the race. And he knew that he really had nothing to lose by racing him hard. Now, if Chase was, you know, on the cusp of maybe not making the playoffs or maybe not winning the regular season championship, maybe those circumstances could have been a little bit different, and maybe Kyle could have raced Chase a little bit differently. But, you know, Kyle did what he, like you said, he had to do what he had to do to go out there and get a victory. And I understand that it might make sense to make sure that they're both on the same page going to the playoffs, just because of the fact that something really similar happened to Auto Club when Kyle won back in February. That's why all these discussions have kind of came out, like, oh, they might need to talk and figure something out at Hendrick Motorsports, just because both of Larson's wins have been really under the same circumstance. If maybe Auto Club didn't happen, I don't think that wouldn't have happened, or maybe Elliott would have been so upset about it. So that's why there's, I guess, quote unquote drama, if you will, between the two. And I think that there's certainly, you know, a little bit of anger towards each other, but I don't think it's anything that they can't get worked out by the beginning of the playoffs next week.
It's like family, not Olive Garden family, but it's family, because of course, when you have two competitive driven drivers who are equally matched on talent and matched on ambition, you're going to have those conflicts happen. And, you know, a lot of people in the sport have been saying, well, this is a good problem for Hendrick Motorsports to have. And honestly, I think it is, because if you have two drivers who are capable of winning races and championships and they're clashing on the racetrack, yeah, it's not exactly the most ideal situation to have in terms of, you know, trying to de-escalate things. But at the same time too, it's a good thing to have, because earlier this year, I wasn't so sure if you would be saying Hendrick Motorsports having the two best drivers when it looked like, you know, Trackhouse Racing getting off to that great start, Nistelar. But of course, you also have Team Penske in the mix. All these other teams, Richard Childers, looking so good this season. So Hendrick Motorsports having this issue, I think it was Jeff Burton who said, I have a hard time feeling bad for them in this situation. And I'm going to echo those sentiments, like you said, on Motor Mouths on Monday. I don't feel bad about it. Honestly, as a journalist, I love it. You want to have a little bit of this interesting situation. So I don't think we've seen the last of it. But I do hope Chase Elliott knows that this racing weekend is going to be taking place at Daytona, not Bristol. So we'll see what happens on Friday evening for qualifying, if Chase Elliott's in that number 9 car or not. I'm sure he is. I'm not trying to manufacture drama. But what I will try to manufacture here is truth about the top 10 finishers really quickly here. So, of course, Kyle Larson took home his 2nd victory of the year, followed by AJ Allmendinger, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Daniel Suarez with a great 5th place finish, Michael McDowell almost stealing a win there with a 6th place finish, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Christopher Buescher, or Chris Buescher, and Eric Jones. Oh, I forgot, folks. I'm not Rob Tiongson this week. I'm Robert Tiongson, because, you know, trying to go by my full name before the playoffs. So anyways, that is our top 10 finishers. But let's talk about the man who could have finished in the top 10, maybe top 15. Unfortunately, the running order will show he finished 37th, and he only has 1 point in his name. But really, I think a lot of folks were very impressed with his efforts in that number 91, Project 91, Recogni Chevrolet Camaro entry. Of course, that's Kimi Raikkonen, the 2007 Formula One champion. Now, honestly, a lot of folks were probably like, oh, top 20, top 25 would be good. Denny Hamlin, I roughly remember him saying, is he really going to be a factor? Yeah, he kind of was. He was really good. And at one point in stage two, I mean, he was up inside the top 10, mixing it up with Chase Elliott, mixing it up with Christopher Buescher and Kyle Larson, among others. And it was on pure merit and pure speed. He did a good job, too, getting on pit road, which I was kind of worried about because in Formula One, obviously, pit stops are like 2.5 seconds, a lot faster than it takes for me to heat up my hot wings from Pizza Hut. But anyways, folks, I was really impressed with Kimi Raikkonen. Unfortunately, he was out of the race by lap 45 because of an accident, again, in the bus stop. But this time, you know, let's hear from Nathan and then hear from Bree on this. Nathan, you got to talk to Kimi Raikkonen a few times and kind of hear a lot about what he thought about racing at Watkins Glen in the NASCAR Cup Series. What were your thoughts of him racing in the Cup Series, and do you think we'll see more of him in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was certainly a big deal. And I think that some of the TV numbers that came out today, and I think the fact that Watkins Glen was absolutely packed and sold out, certainly, you know, says a lot about that. A lot of people wanted to see him race. And yeah, for the most part, I think he did pretty well. I think he probably was in the 15 to 20 range, because if I remember correctly, I think he would have been around 15th or 20th had he finished the race. That's what I mean. But I think when he was in the top 10, he was up there kind of in part because of some pit strategy, because there's a bunch of different pit strategies just because of like the whole wet to dry transition for tires. I don't even know if we've mentioned that, because of course the race started in the wet, so teams really, it was on their discretion when they wanted to change to the slicks. So some teams, I think Buescher and a couple others, Briscoe, I think they made the switch around lap 10. Others, yep. Some of the Hendrick cars, I think they'd make the switch till right before pit road closed at the end of the stage. So there's a ton of different strategies in that race. So just kind of depending on how the strategies were, Raikkonen moved up into the top 10, and he certainly was competitive up there for sure. It was neat to see him and Chase Elliott race. I think him and Larson were racing at one point. You know, he was racing with some of the best and the best in the NASCAR series. And it's kind of cool to see him just like throw a block on Chase Elliott and just know that he has the confidence to kind of move around the car like that going down the backstretch. But yeah, got caught up in a wreck in the bus stop. It was kind of a bit of a chain reaction. I think the one got into the three and entering the bus stop, and I think everybody just kind of got backed up, and he got hit from behind. I don't remember who hit him from behind. He kind of just got shot the other way. So not his fault, but he did seem to express some interest in potentially coming back for at least another race. I don't know how many more, but it seemed like he enjoyed his experience. Like obviously he made you know, coming to this race like a 2-week ordeal. He spent you know, time at the shop preparing, did the test a couple weeks ago at VIR now. And I think he visited New York City too as the tourist part of it, but it'd be really great to see him back. I think it's really good for NASCAR as a whole and motorsports as a whole to have some of those international drivers come into the sport. I just love what Trackhouse is doing there, just by bringing in international drivers. And it sounds like they want to continue this Project 91 into next year and do 6 or 7 or maybe even more races. And that's kind of the estimated number of road courses on that'll probably be on the schedule next year. So we'd love to see another cool variety of drivers in next year. I'd love to see Helio Castroneves around the Daytona 500 in there, because obviously there's you know, because of him winning the SRX race, Don Hawk's gonna put him in a Daytona 500 ride. So it'd be really cool if that'd be there. But yeah, like I said, great for the sport, and hope he comes back.
Oh, 100% for sure. And kind of wonder if that's the announcement this weekend at Daytona. That's why I was kind of like rubbing my absent goatee. I don't have one. But Rihanna, can you corroborate it? No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to put you in the spotlight like that. But what were your thoughts?
I got nothing to say anyway.
I think pleading the fifth. I'm kidding. What were your thoughts on Kimi's debut? I mean, I'm sure you guys on campus were super excited to get this Project 91 team off and running.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal when it was announced at the shop. And then the attention that it drew from everywhere worldwide, it was insane. Just like checking out people on social media that are into it and like stayed up overseas to watch the race, even with the rain delay and all of that. I think a lot of them turned the TV off when his day was done, but just, you know, it's so good for the sport. You know, you're just bringing in that much more eyes and views to the sport. And he did well. I think that's even more important, right? It's cool to say he did it, but to do it and then do it well, just like, okay, maybe Project 91 is onto something. And then that brings more attention from other international drivers who was like, oh, I have a chance. I could have a chance to run, you know, a well put together fast car in NASCAR, not only just do NASCAR, but do it well. And so everything about it is just really exciting and fun. And of course, good for the sport. I don't think we could say that enough. So it'll be exciting to see who comes through next year for the next, you know, 6-7 handful of races that they have.
Certainly. And I really love this initiative by Justin Marks. He's just done a really good job trying to diversify, you know, stock car racing altogether, you know, not just with you amongst the organization and pitting for different teams. Of course, that's one of the few women in NASCAR who changes tires. But of course, Daniel Suarez being a driver in the number 99 car. Kimi Räikkönen from Iceland, or from Iceland, Finland, doing this, Iceland, because his nickname is Iceman. And then, you know, Marcus Ericsson from Ganassi was expressing interest as well on Twitter. I mean, he was so invested about it. I think that's the coolest thing, is that there is so much engagement about being a NASCAR Cup Series racing that y'all have really helped change the typecasted image on it, which I love, because if there wasn't Project 91, let's be honest, with some of these drivers in F1 IndyCar be interested in watching a race at Watkins Glen? Probably not.
Exactly. But because
go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because of that, there's so much more interest in it now. Even like at the track on Saturday, when they were doing their qualifying and stuff, like their pit stall where they were like running out of and stuff was nuts. It was so insane. And like the amount of like merch I saw, and just, it was nuts. It was like half the people there were there for him. So it was pretty cool to see.
Absolutely. And for me personally, you know, I grew up being a Kimi Räikkönen fan. So of course, being a journalist, I had to maintain some impartiality. But as a racing fan, I was super thrilled, because I never imagined one of my on-track heroes getting to race in a stock car, much less sharing the racetrack with a lot of the drivers that, you know, journalists can say this. We admire what y'all do on the racetrack, whether you're changing tires, you know, going on the racetrack. That is not easy. It's super, super incredible that you do what you do. And to see him out there was just like, that's the kind of thing I could only have happened in my video game. And it happened in real life. So it's,
yeah,
I can tell you, I was excited. Nathan got to talk to him a few times, and I'm just really curious to see what's going to happen. I know you're not going to tell me anything, and that's fair, but I think
I don't know anything.
Fair enough. I think it's going to be super cool, and I promise that's not the reason why you're on the show today. I'm not trying to be like, hey, tell me more, but it's just so cool. That's what keeps me engaged with NASCAR, is all these little things that you never know will happen, and they're happening right now. So yeah. That's why we got to stay tuned, folks. Don't go anywhere. Speaking of staying tuned, of course, we have a very exciting and very wild Daytona race coming up this Saturday night, of course, with the Coke Zero Sugar Free 400, with the playoff coming up really soon. But of course, the main storyline has to be the battle for that final playoff entry spot. Now, of course, the man that's holding that position is Ryan Blaney, and his number 12 Team Penske Ford Mustang crew. But then not too far behind is Martin Truex Jr., who honestly has been having a really consistent but winless year. But pretty much anybody ranked behind them up to 29th place has a chance to race their way into the playoffs if they can win on Saturday night, which I'm not going to get too involved as to whether it's an ethically great thing or bad thing. That's more of a podium preview thing we're going to do. But what I want Bree and Nathan to talk about with me is really just more predictions and what to expect on this particular battle that's coming up on Saturday night. So, I mean, we got Truex, Blaney, anybody from like basically 18th on to 29th, having a chance to be in the playoffs. Who do you foresee getting that playoff, that final playoff transfer spot?
I just think we're going to have a new winner. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be somebody who hasn't won this season. I don't know who, but I just, it's Daytona, right? Daytona is so unpredictable anyway. Yep. And I just think we're going to see somebody we haven't seen win this season yet win.
We'll have to figure out who that is as we get closer to the racing weekend and probably exchange thoughts on that on Twitter so the fans can chime in. But I like that. I will say something about that in a bit. But Nathan, what do you think?
Oh, man, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, there's three drivers that come to mind of who could steal this victory. And again, the field's so wide open in a race like that. I really do think anyone could win that race. But three drivers that come to mind immediately: Bubba Wallace, Eric Jones, Michael McDowell. Three terrific super speedway racers. All are winless this year. And Bubba Wallace has finished second now twice in the Daytona 500. Obviously won Talladega last year. And he's really had a pretty good summer. I know Watkins Glen's basically an outlier, and he's admittedly not a very good road course racer, so that's certainly out the window now. But just with how good he is at managing some of those races at super speedways, I think he'll be in the mix for sure. Eric Jones, he's won that race before, back when it was a July race with when he was with Joe Gibbs Racing, I think.
Yes. Or he was
Furniture Row. But anyway, that part's irrelevant. He's won at Daytona before. He's won that race before. And then, of course, you can't forget about last year's Daytona 500 champion, Michael McDowell. So those three guys really come to mind for me. McDowell had a really great run last week at Watkins Glen. He was in the mix to win the race. I think the second to last restart, he kind of got used up a little bit and dropped a few positions, so that kind of took him out of contention to win the race. But he was up there to the very end. The front row cars were incredibly fast. Todd Gilliland also had a really good run going before, unfortunately, he had a mechanical failure. So, but anyway, those three guys, I think they could certainly all be contenders. And of course, Ryan Blaney is also very good at super speedway racing. So I'm sure he's someone that you can't count out either. But, you know, Martin Truex Jr., he's had a really good season up to this point. He just hasn't gotten that win. But things are definitely looking pretty bleak for him right now. I think for him to point his way in, obviously he would need not just a new winner or to win himself, but I think that he would need Blaney to probably get in a crash or something or have a mechanical failure early on in the race, and then Truex would have to score a top 10 and some stage points. So it would probably take a lot for him to get into the playoffs, but again, anything's possible at Daytona. We've seen so much chaos in this season up to this point. Nothing would surprise me at this point. So we'll just see what happens.
Well, safe to say, I'm not going to be winning the Coke Zero Sugar Free 400. So I can promise you TPF Motorsports is not going to have a late entry, and I'm going to be the 16th driver in the playoff field. But hey, anything's possible. Honestly, y'all have made some great observations on this. I'm going to be very quick about this because I know we've got to get to our winning and dark horse picks here for Daytona. But, you know, Eric Jones, Bubba Wallace, Michael McDowell, all great names. I'm going to throw in a wild card here that none of us mentioned. And kind of a left field pick I'm going to make. I think Harrison Burton's going to spoil the parade on Saturday night. You know, the number 21 Wood Brothers team, they are traditionally really good at Daytona. Now, I know he made some headlines in Daytona earlier this year with that incredibly weird flip on the back straightaway. But I think Mr. Burton's done some good things later, you know, late this season. And he's, you know, starting to find his comfort zone. He's learning to take care of his cars a little bit better. You know, Chevrolet, of course, they're all good. Now, I know Joey Logano said to you in the bullpen, Nathan, that his main objective will be helping the 12 team make the playoffs, but it doesn't always work out that way. So I think, you know, the number 21 team is going to be the team I'm going to watch to make their way into the playoffs. And I don't want to imagine what Reddit Nation is going to say about, oh, Blaney and Truex not making it because of a fluke winner. I'm sorry. You know, you fans wanted a playoff system that rewarded winners. You've got it. So just saying, that's how it rolls, folks.
And let me add real quick, too, if you don't mind me jumping in quick. And I don't want to speculate either, but there's also unknowns with the Kurt Busch situation. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. If he comes out and says that he doesn't feel like he'll be healthy enough to race the playoffs, or NASCAR doesn't extend that waiver, which I think they probably will, then there could potentially be two playoff spots open. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on, where there is certainly a scenario where there could be two playoff spots open, even though there does not appear to be two open. There only appears to be one right now. So that's still a scenario where Truex Jr. and Blaney can get in, is if Kurt Busch does not end up racing in the playoffs, and he comes out and says that, or they don't extend that waiver. So certainly something to keep an eye on, where we could potentially see the final playoff spot clinched like next Wednesday or Thursday, which would be kind of odd. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen crazy things happen with the playoff format in 2013, namely. I won't go do a long history lesson for you both, but let's just say 13th place Jeff Gordon. That's all I'm going to say. If you folks don't know, Wikipedia that stuff. I wasn't going to say Wikipedia that S word, because this is a family-oriented show. I don't swear on the show, ever. Anyways, let us get on to our last topic. It's winning time, folks. We're going to have to name our surefire pick and a dark horse pick for the Daytona races, Xfinity and Cup style, of course. So, Nathan, I'll let you lead off. Bree, you get to go next after Nathan. And then I will go last and make it really quick on my end. But for you guys, take all the time you want. It's winning time. So let's do it to it.
All right. So for my Xfinity pick, I'm going to have to... I'm gonna have to go with our hot seat interview for this week. That'll be Austin Hill. I mean, he has two super speedway style wins this year. He won the Daytona spring race. He won the Atlanta race back in July on the newly reconfigured super speedway, if you will. He's always in the mix. You know, we kind of talked about his super speedway racing, and you'll hear more about it shortly. Just that he never used to love super speedway racing, and just with the success that he's had on, he started to embrace it a lot more and pay attention to it a lot more now. So I think he'll be really good on Saturday. He'll pick up his third win of the season. For my dark horse picks, man, there's a lot of different ways I could go with this one. Instead of dark horse picks, I'll give you two dark horse teams, right? My number one dark horse team, I'll go with Sam Hunt Racing. There are two cars this week, and they are both Nemechek's, John Hunter Nemechek and Joe Nemechek, the father-son duo. They'll team up for this weekend. I think, I think you can almost see kind of like a DEI style thing, or like a DEI RCR thing back with like Dale Jr. and Dale Sr. back in the day, just on how they work together and just that father-son kind of bond and relationship. I'm sure it'll carry over well onto the track. They probably know best what each other likes in a race car and how far they can push it. So I think there'll be a ton of fun to watch. And the JD Motorsports cars, they were both really fast at Daytona in February. Ryan Vargas qualified, I think, P8 or something. So I think they'll be really fast as well. But again, even in that race, there's so many different teams that could go out and win that race. That'll be wide open as well. And you know, we could get a surprise winner there that could also really shake up the Xfinity playoffs too. So those are my Xfinity picks for Cup. I gave kind of like three dark horse picks, if you will, earlier when I mentioned McDowell, Bubba, and oh my gosh, I just blanked on
Jones.
Oh, and Eric Jones. I don't know why I just blanked on that one, but I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace to win the race. I think that he's been really good all summer. Like I mentioned, he's a very good super speedway racer. He's due for his first win of the season here on Saturday. I think he'll get it done. Finally get it done at Daytona after a bunch of really close calls. Some of my dark horse picks, I know I'm not really switching up much from what I said earlier, but Eric Jones, Michael McDowell, Ryan Blaney, they're all very good super speedway racers. Even a Ricky Stenhouse Jr., there's a new name I'll throw in there. Ricky, he's won a couple super speedway races in his career too. So all of them are in, you know, basically must-win scenarios, so they'll do whatever it takes to go out and get that win. So I'm really inclined to think that we will have another another winner this year, and it'd be pretty crazy to see both Ryan Blaney and Martin Truex Jr. out of the playoffs. But that just shows the emphasis on having to win a race. So, Saturday will certainly have no shortage in drama. So I highly recommend that you all tune in to NBC at 7 o'clock.
That's a good advertisement. Don't watch Law and Order, but watch the drama and the excitement that's going to be deliberated in Daytona. So just a little fun joke there. What about you, Bree? What do you think?
I think maybe for Xfinity race, my winner might be like a dark horse pick as well. Because I would throw Justin Haley in the mix. He's running the Xfinity race. Maybe people don't hear much about him this season, but in Xfinity, super speedways are his jam, and he's, you know, going back into an Xfinity car at Daytona. And, I don't know. I think that's his thing. And so I think he could pull a win out for his one time Xfinity gig this year.
Well, yes, yeah, he's won like the last two Xfinity races in that event, I think.
Yeah. He's a super speedway guy. So, I mean, I guess we'll see, but that's, I think that would be a dark horse pick as well, because he doesn't run Xfinity anymore. Right. He's full-time Cup. So, yeah. As far as Cup,
yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Like I told you before, I think it will be somebody that doesn't have a win yet. And I think Nathan picked the best three of the ones that haven't won yet. I would love to see Bubba win. He does run well there. So I think if I had to pick a winner, I would pick Bubba for sure. Dark horse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to see like the list in front of me.
Well, I will be your cheat sheet here because I actually do have it in front of me. So in terms of, you know, who is on the entry list besides the usual suspects, we also have to consider the likes of Landon Castle, the number 77. Also have got, Noah Gregson in that Beard Motorsports car, David Reagan, the number 15. I mean, there's just so many over here.
I know.
I assure you folks, this is not behind the scenes talk. This is real talk on the podium finish. I just shared the entry list for you folks in this discussion here. See if you want to check that out. But I mean, that's the fun part about Daytona. It's a wild goose chase in terms of who's going to be in it. I mean, Corey LaJoie may not be in the playoffs, but if he wins, that's a nice boost for Spire Motorsports.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you could take a look at that if you wanted to chime in after me, go for it. But I'll be very quick, of course. I want to be a hogger here on TPF Fly for the winning picks. Starting off with Xfinity, my winning pick is whoever Brianna is going to be pitting for. So I don't know who that is actually right now. Got to support a friend here, you know. But of course, if her team doesn't win, I will go with AJ Allmendinger to finally win an Xfinity race on a super speedway, because how many times has he been up front so close to winning and then something silly happens to him? Like in 2020, I think he gets pretty much destroyed on the final lap. And then 2021 was in the right place at the right time, but then Justin Haley just snookered his father. I mean, AJ Allmendinger across the line, father son joke that's going on with those two. I don't know why. But yeah, I think AJ is going to be the winning pick. So I'll stick with your call theme here, but I'll go with the points leader. Dark horse wise, I mean, again, besides the team that Brianna will be pitting for, because honestly, as the press time, I don't know who that will be, but of course, she'll probably let me know. It's kind of weird to call him a dark horse because I know he's only been in a few Xfinity races this year. I've really been impressed with Sammy Smith in that number 18 car. Now, yes, the 18 car has been so fast, no matter who's driven it. But Sammy Smith is a really mature, young driver. I love what I've seen out of him. And I think if Toyota Racing's kind of thinking about their future, of course, they've got a great pipeline in the short track scene already. I mean, Isabella Robusto won her late model race, although she's years away from being in the Xfinity Series, but years away in NASCAR goes by super fast. I think that, you know, we really shouldn't be surprised if Sammy Smith comes away with the victory for the 18 car. Now, going to Cup really quickly, As far as my surefire pick, I am going to go deviate from both of y'all. I'm going to say Ryan Blaney wins because I'm sure he's still brooding about the fact that Austin Cindric outmuscled him across the line in the Daytona 500. I'm sure he wants to get that victory. And Joey Logano being a man of his word, when he says he's going to help you, probably will help you out. So I think Team Penske is going to celebrate a playoff sweep with their organization. But if he can't do it in terms of a dark horse pick, I am actually going to go think a little bit differently outside the box. Again, I'm going to stick with the College Racing folks. I'm going to say Daniel Hemric is going to surprise us all and do something silly to win the race. I don't mean to crash someone out. I just mean Daytona's weird. If you want proof of how weird it can be, look at the 2020 Busch Light Clash that Eric Jones won in that trashed up race car. This one's going to mean a lot more, of course, in points and all that. So I'm going to say Daniel Hemric for my dark horse pick. Will we be right? Will we be wrong? I honestly do not know. Yeah, I wish we could fit. I wish I had a crystal ball. Bree might have one. I don't know. She was kind of like intimating that she might have one, folks. I
Out of
do
the
not.
three of us, one of us might be right. I mean, we got three chances, so
33% chance.
I mean,
So,
so odds are okay here.
yeah, and if one of us wins, if one of us wins, we need to go play the lottery afterwards. So
Yeah,
I
for
don't know
sure.
what I don't know which one's the bigger situation. Nathan, I don't know if you're able to play the lottery game because
I am. I'm not that young.
I figured it, rag on you on that. But yeah, this is what's fun about Daytona. I can't wait to see who's going to be right because I was so close to saying, did I say Kyle Larson last? No, I didn't say Kyle Larson last for last weekend's pick. I picked AJ Allmendinger on our show, and I should have said Kyle Larson because he's my gut choice. There's a running theme on the show that I always say Kyle Larson for the cup race pick, but this weekend I'm going different because I know how the number five team feels about super speedway racing. So sorry, Caesar. Sorry, Kyle. Going in a different direction here. But for this weekend's races, of course, we only have the two major NASCAR races. The Wawa 250 at Daytona can be caught this Friday night on USA at 7:30 p.m. East Coast time. So if you're looking for Law and Order SVU, I'm sorry, folks. You're going to see some NASCAR racing on Friday night. And as far as the Coke Zero Sugar 400 is concerned, that will be on at 7 p.m. East Coast time on NBC, the major NBC network. So tune in, DVR it, and then tweet to us what you think will happen in this race. My Twitter handle is, of course, at Rob Tiongson. That guy over there, Nathan Solomons, is at zero and Solly 00 and Solly 02. That is so hard for me to say when I'm excited about a race. And of course, my best friend Brianna, her Twitter handle is, I think it's Brio Leary 3.
Yep, that's
See,
it.
I didn't cheat. I looked, I
Real
didn't.
theory three.
I know it by heart, folks. I hope you guys tweet to us because we want to know, were we right or were we wrong? And if we're right, then I don't know. Buy us a lottery ticket. If we're wrong, buy us lunch or dinner. I don't know. Something like that. But either way, folks, it's going to be a great race weekend. But why don't we head on over to the hot seat? Right now. Alrighty, folks. Well, here we are in the hot seat again. And Nathan had the opportunity to talk with Austin Hill during the Watkins Glen Racing weekend. Now, Nathan, of course, teased a little bit about what he and Austin talked about. And really, like you audiences at home, I don't know what else was talked about. So that's the cool part is I'm going to be sitting back, getting my popcorn, getting my water on, because that's what 36-year-old men do, because we're so cool like that. So I'm not going to spoil it too much because for once and for a lifetime, I'm going to make you get to hear this exciting interview that Nathan did with Austin Hill. So let's hear Austin Hill in the hot seat with Nathan Solomon right now.
But first, I kind of want to talk about your Truck Series success. Obviously, you won 8 times in the Truck Series, won twice last year, including here. Just kind of what was it like racing in trucks the previous couple of years?
Yeah, trucks was a lot of fun, especially the last 3 years when I ran with HRE. We had really, really good trucks and a lot of speed each and every week. 2019 was great, getting four wins that season. You know, the only thing that kind of stings a little bit is we never made it to that Final Four the 3 years that I was with HRE in the trucks. So we were always so close. 2019 was probably the closest we were. I think we missed the Final Four cut by like 3 points, and then we went out and won Homestead. So what could have been, right? But the Truck Series was always a lot of fun to race. You know, I was able to run there this year at Pocono and had a blast doing that. Just getting back in the trucks again and racing with those guys was fun. It's been a lot different, obviously, going from the truck to the Xfinity car with more horsepower and less downforce, side force, things like that. It makes the Xfinity cars a little tougher to drive, but I like that because, you know, I think you see it sometimes in the truck race where you get going and as long as you're in clean air, it's hard to get around guys because, you know, the way the engine program is and stuff over there, that you kind of struggle a little bit with horsepower and you got to be on the throttle so much that it makes it tough to pass each other. So that's one thing I've really enjoyed about Xfinity cars. If you're better than a guy in front of you, you normally can get around them. There is some dirty air and things like that that come into play, but normally if you're a lot better than somebody, you can drive around them, which has been good in the Xfinity series.
You know, obviously you've done some Xfinity starts before you came to RCR, but how do you think you're able to kind of earn this opportunity here with this team?
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff goes into it. I had been talking with RCR over the last 3 or so years about, really since 2019, about running with RCR. I had a good relationship with a lot of guys over at RCR, and we were trying to make it work. We wanted to make it work back in 2020, and it didn't happen. Then we wanted to make it work in 2021, and it didn't happen again, just with sponsorship and everything else. And then finally going into the 22 season, we made it work. We found some more sponsorship and some more partners and people like Bennett and Global Industrial, United Rentals, you know, guys like that, partners like that, that really helped this deal come together. And it's been great so far. I've loved the family atmosphere that RCR brings to the table, and you know, that's kind of what I grew up racing. We owned our own race team all the way up until I was 20-ish, and then we went over and started racing with Young's Motorsports. There again, that was kind of a family atmosphere team. And then when we went over to HRE, I mean, I think they had like 15 employees, so you know, it was a very small team, very family atmosphere. And even though RCR is a huge organization and they have 300 plus employees, you still have that same family atmosphere, which I really enjoy and really love. Because if you're going to be sitting here racing every single weekend and you're going to be around these guys as much as you are, you want to like each other and you want to like what you're doing in your job. So you know, that's what I love about RCR, is it's very family oriented. And you know, it seems like from day one when I stepped through the door, you know, they were all behind my back, and you know, I was behind theirs, and we've just been fighting all year to get better each and every week and contend for wins. And we're starting to put some good string of finishes together, and we want to get back in victory lane. So hopefully we can do it here at Walking the Glen, a place that I've gotten it done at.
And, you know, when you came to the Xfinity Series, you just really didn't waste any time, you know, going to victory lane for the first time, winning at Daytona. Just what was that like, you know, your first race here and you're in victory lane?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I've never really enjoyed super speedway racing for whatever reason. I've just, when you go to the super speedways, like, you're there to win. You're there. They hand out a trophy at the end of the deal, so you're there. You're still there to win and do your job. But I've always been the guy that when I go to super speedway, there's so many different variables that can happen throughout a race. Where, you know, let's take Talladega for example. This year, we controlled the race for the majority of the race, and we were class of the field. And you know, we did a really good job. My spotter and I, Derek Nealon, did a great job just controlling that race. And then it comes down to the end where you start getting to closer to the end of the race and the restart's getting a little more aggressive, and you know, you have a guy push a guy the wrong way on the outside lane. Next thing you know, you're heading towards the inside wall. So I think that's the one big thing that I've not really enjoyed about super speedway racing, but you know, seems like we're pretty decent at it. So it was really special though, just getting the win at Daytona. You know, we did the same thing at at the truck level when I got over to HRE. We started the year off with the win at Daytona, and I think it just builds a lot of momentum and confidence in the organization and in the team going forward. I mean, you've never worked with these guys before, and you know, it's your first year working together. You want to start the year off right, and we did that. And you know, I think it just kind of built that confidence going forward, and that's why you've been seeing, you know, all the good finishes that we've been having and things like that, just because we have a lot of confidence in each other.
Have you started to embrace super speedway racing more? Like, obviously, like you mentioned, you're pretty good at it. You won Daytona, you won Atlanta, you won in the truck series. Have you started to just enjoy it more?
Yes.
The success that you've had with it?
Yeah, so after Daytona and after we won, I was like, man, I need to start really putting in my head a little bit more that I actually enjoy these super speedways. And when we went to Talladega, I actually had a blast. Like, I had so much fun controlling the race and being the leader, and, you know, just being able to, our car was so fast that, you know, you didn't want to get too far out. So, like, you had to play that kind of strategy where you're lifting and you're dragging some brake and things like that. And just keeping the guys close enough to you. And, you know, after Talladega, with getting in the wreck and stuff, I was frustrated with it. But then going to Atlanta, a place that I've been wanting to win at ever since I was a little kid, you know, because I grew up an hour from Atlanta Speedway. Then when we unloaded for Atlanta and we went and ran that race, the second go around, I had a ton of confidence. I was like, we're going to win this race. And that's what we did. We controlled the race for the majority of the race there at the end. You know, we just had such a really fast race car and was able to get it done.
How would you evaluate your season overall? I mean, you're on a pretty good stretch right now. I think you only finished outside the top 10 once since Dover. I mean, are you pretty happy with your year so far?
I'd say yes and no. And I think if you ask anybody on the 21 team, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. Just because, yeah, it's good that we have this consistency of top 10 finishes going and things like that and top 5 and all. But we're hungry. Like, we just want to win. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, we want to win a championship, but we want to win races too. So, you know, getting the win at Daytona and Atlanta was awesome, but we're not done there. We want to keep winning races, and anytime we feel like we come up short and that we don't have the car capable enough of winning that particular weekend, then we go back to the drawing board and in our competition meetings, we're trying to figure out what we can do to be better. Because we're hungry. We want to win races and dominate in the Xfinity Series, and that's what we're here to do. So we're going to keep fighting really hard, digging deep, and we're not going to be happy unless we win races. Like, you know, let's take Michigan, our last race, for example. We ran fifth, and we wasn't – I mean, I know I wasn't. I wasn't really happy with that. I mean, I felt like we did probably about as good as we could have done that day, but we knew that we were off compared to the guys that kind of checked out the top two or three and kind of drove away from us. We knew we were off, so we're just still fighting and just trying to get better each and every week so we can contend a little bit more for race wins instead of running, you know, 5th to 10th. We want to be running 3rd to 1st and really contend for these wins.
And now playoffs are right around the corner, only 5 more races until the playoff opener. How ready do you feel the whole team is to make a playoff run?
I think we're ready. I mean, I think the biggest areas that we're trying to touch on is, you're always touching on every little area to be better, but I think one of the big areas that we're trying to really hone in on is our short track program, trying to get better with that. And, you know, whether it's a little bit of the car, a little bit of me, I mean, I put a lot of weight on my shoulders and try to be the best that I can be each and every week. And if I'm not, I tell the team that, you know, I just wasn't good that day, or I, you know, had bad restarts, or I did that, or did this wrong. So just trying to minimize mistakes, clean some things up. And I think once we go into the playoffs, if we can kind of minimize some mistakes and, you know, just maybe unload a little closer to where, you know, we're not having to throw a lot at it throughout the race to get where we want to be by stage 3, you know, you could see us really having a shot at winning some more races. And I think that's what it's going to take going into the playoffs. You got to run inside the top 5, you know, stage 1, stage 2, and really stay up front all race long and have a shot at these wins if you want to advance.
Now, last time you were in a car, it was a Cup Series car. You made your Cup Series debut a couple weeks ago at Michigan. Just what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was a very surreal moment for me. You know, from the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I wanted to be a race car driver and started racing when I was 6 years old. And I knew from the first time I strapped into a race car that, you know, I wanted to make it to the NASCAR level and make it to Cup someday. And didn't really envision it taking as long as it did. You know, I'm 28 years old and finally got my first start. But, you know, like I've told everybody else, better late than never. So it was so awesome. You know, the biggest thing I tried to do that whole weekend and especially all day Sunday was just take it all in. And, you know, you're there to do a job, but at the same time, you know, walking up to the grid and signing autographs and all that, just taking all that in and embracing all of it was really special. And then our first and foremost goal was to finish all 200 laps, and we did that. And we knew that if we ran all 200 laps, stayed out of all trouble, that, you know, we could have a solid finish. And I was really happy with running 18th like we did. And I learned a ton, I think, to even kind of go into the Xfinity Series. When we run tomorrow, I think there's things that I learned throughout that race from other guys and things that they were doing and how they're setting up passes and, you know, dirtying the air up with other guys and things like that, that I think I can take forward on the Xfinity Series. So I thought that it was a huge, you know, learning experience for me.
Only run one race with it, but did you like the car? Or were you surprised at all with some of the challenges it brought?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me was the way the rack and pinion steering is. It's just very, it just feels very twitchy. And until you get in the corner and you kind of get load in the tire, then like the steering is just very light. And then once you finally kind of get in the corner and get load, like the steering starts to tighten up on you. So it actually starts driving sort of like an Xfinity car, like through the corner, the way the steering feels. But it was a very, very weird car to, you know, drive. It's something totally different than the Xfinity car. And I think that it's just going to take a few races to kind of get used to and really figure it out. It was hard to figure out like where the tire limit was. I feel like you can kind of tell where the tire limit is a little more on the Xfinity car, because you can tell like when the right rear's hung out or the right front's pushing and things like that. You can just kind of feel the tire, and I feel like you can't really feel the front tires that good on the Cup side. So you know, that's just something that I got to play with. And if I do get the opportunity down the road to run again, I really got to really hone in on trying to feel where the front tires are at and just kind of where the rear is, because I feel like you got to run those cars really, really loose to have really good speed. And to start the race, I wasn't that comfortable with it, so we started the race like really tight and we just loosened up all day. And by the end of it, we actually were pretty decent. We had some respectable lap times, but it just took that whole 200 laps to finally like start to get in a rhythm and starting to figure out the car a little bit more, and knowing you just got to drive it really loose. And you know, if you do have a moment, you just got to be ready for it, because it's so easy to, like, when those things get loose on you, they're not as easy to catch as it is on the Xfinity side.
Was it hard for you at all to go back and forth that weekend, just between the Xfinity car and the Cup car, or was it normal?
Not really. I thought that it was harder going from the Xfinity car to the Cup car than it was going from the Cup car to the Xfinity car, just because I ran the Xfinity car all year. So as soon as I strapped in the Xfinity car, I just felt like I was at home.
And my final question is, what have you enjoyed about racing in the Xfinity Series so far?
I'd say the biggest thing is just being able to probably maneuver around a lot better than I could in the trucks. I mean, there were times in the trucks that we felt like we were class of the field and probably one of the best trucks out there, and you just kind of get stuck behind somebody in the dirty air and you couldn't move around enough to make stuff happen. I feel like you can do that a little bit more on the Xfinity side. There's still racetracks you go to where even on the Xfinity side it's kind of like a one lane deal and it's really hard to pass, but I just like how there's low down force, you know, the side force really ain't there, and you have some horsepower to where you know, you can get the rear of the car hung out and still drive it, whereas in a truck you had to be as loose as you wanted, you know, could take it, but they had so much downforce that you just felt like you're stuck in the racetrack. And I feel like on the Xfinity side it's really not like that.
Sure.
Well, that was a really exciting interview with Austin Hill. Nathan, great job as always. I mean that very sincerely. I promise you that I'm not reading off a script. There is no camera to prove that, though. So just going to have to take my word for it. But before we close out the show, of course, big thanks, of course, to Austin Hill and the RCR team and Jimmy White for making that possible. And, of course, Marissa Fuller from RCR. Love collaborating with RCR's media team. They're always amongst the best in the business. And speaking of best in the business, my best friend, of course, in the business, besides Nathan, would be my best friend, Brianna, who I'm always so grateful to have on this show. And yes, I do promise that in another appearance of yours coming up, I will have you be the hot seat interview. So it'll be more live, and maybe we'll get Alex Andreev, formerly of the Charlotte Observer, on here. So it's like a one-year reunion on this show. So it's like, it's kind of like those reality shows where like, where are they now? A year later, kind of a thing. But Bree, I'm so thankful, you know, for you to be on the show. I think this is your third appearance, second live, because your second appearance was a taped interview that I did with you. But what else is on the pipelines for you as far as the pit crew stuff is concerned?
Same as it's been, you know, we're working hard. We are, you know, hitting the playoffs, switching some things up and getting better every day is always the goal. And I mean, soon we'll start looking to arrange rosters for next year. So
maybe, just maybe, I get to finally see you do that one lug nut style pit stop in the flush. That would be super cool. And for those folks who are under a rock and don't know where to find you on social media, where can they find you, say, on Twitter and TikTok or whatever platforms you want to share with them?
Well, you could probably search Brianna O'Leary and find me, just because my usernames on everything is different. I don't make it easy on anybody. My Instagram is really easy, though. It's BNO123. My TikTok is actually easier. It's just Brianna O'Leary. I made that one easy. You know, I'm trying to be a TikTok star, but it's not going so well, but it's still fun to do. And Twitter, where I tweet all my little blurbs. Like you said, it's Bri O'Leary 3.
Yes, and those little blurbs do include the fact that when it's the first of the month, which is coming pretty soon, happens on the first of the month?
Rent is due.
That is right. Nathan, of course, doesn't have to worry about that, although he's on dorm, so it's kind of the same thing. But for us, me and you being the adults of this show, I mean, it's just, that's how it is.
But those dorms aren't cheap either. I know that.
They are cheap.
No.
It is not. But TikTok superstar, I think you are one. I love watching what you do on there. And I actually got to be in one of them, which was like super humbling for me, because considering what I got to do that weekend at CODA, I was like, our team was like, Rob, you're on TikTok. I'm like, yes, I know I'm on TikTok. I have a TikTok account, which I don't really use. They're like, no, Bree put you on her TikTok. I'm like, what? I'm like, I am? And I was like, oh, cool. But hopefully we get to do a funny one at Texas. You know, I will definitely try to make it happen. I still want to do a dancing. I need to do a dancing one with you, because you make it a lot of fun to do your stuff.
I try.
Now, Nathan, of course, I know you are working on some great stuff as you're getting ready to go back to school, which is exciting, but also like, what are you looking forward to doing on the TPF this coming week?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, get ready for Daytona. Obviously, there's like, you know, like we mentioned, there's so many different scenarios that could happen, kind of be working on previewing all that action coming up this weekend and then get into playoff mode. I mean, it's kind of crazy, kind of coming up on my 1 year anniversary of being with TPS. That's pretty neat, because I remember it was like right towards the beginning of the playoffs. So that'll be cool to get to that milestone, I guess. But yeah, a lot of playoff stuff, obviously. Xfinity Series are only a few weeks away from the playoffs. And you know, as you know, I love watching the Xfinity Series so much. And I think that they're the best package out there. Of course, Cup is a lot of fun too. And can't forget about the trucks either. They're already two races into the playoffs. So certainly a lot to cover there, and looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And speaking of your Xfinity Series, if I'm not mistaken, their playoff opener happens at my adopted home track, but Bree's real home track, Texas Motor Speedway. So what? We're going to be there for that race. And there could be some fun things happening, but of course, serious stuff too, but fun things, of course, happening at TMS. As far as me, as far as I'm concerned, AJ Allmendinger's hot seat interview will be released in two parts, because he and I talk so much that I honestly don't want to make it one long interview, because if I do, you will feel like you took NyQuil. So I'm not going to have that happen. You're going to feel excited to read that. And I will also release the Q&A version of my interview with IndyCar star Pato O'Ward. So those are my two big interviews coming around the corner. And I go back to school next week and begin the final countdown to my Master's of Arts in Digital Journalism. Kind of a bittersweet moment, but also too, happy anniversary to Nathan being on the TPF team. That is right. He did approach me around this time last year, and I was like, yeah, bro, go join us, which was a cool moment because it was when during a time when I did not expect anything to happen. I think one year ago, too, I was one of the newest members for the National Motorsports Press Association. So that anniversary is coming up soon, too. But then Nathan came along and said, hey, can I join your team? And I was like, go for it, man. Do it up. And we have not looked back as far as our friendship and partnerships concerned with TPF. So happy anniversary, Nathan. Super cool. And of course, Bree, I think our friendship is also around this time of the year. So this is kind of a unique situation. The Dream Team all formed around this time of the year. I don't know why, but August seems to be a really good time of the year. But Bree, thank you so much for joining us here in TPF Live. Really appreciate that. Of course. And of course, Nathan, always appreciate what you do. Great job again to you and Sam at Watkins Glen and Austin Hill. Thanks, bro, for joining our show. So we are going to wrap this show up. Catch us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for previous episodes and this episode, of course. Give us a 5-star review because we could really appreciate that up. And coming up next week, it is episode number 44 of TPF Live. And guess what that means, folks? Playoff preview time. For Nathan Solomon and Brianna O'Leary and Austin Hill, I'm your host, Rob T. Johnson, saying thanks so much for joining us here on TPF Live. As I say on all of these shows, let's go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.